The Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. The truth is out there. This was one of the catchphrases from the popular TV series, The X-Files. This series focused on two FBI agents who were put in charge of examining unsolved cases, many of which led them in the direction of aliens being involved and the government covering it up. This show, based on the popular conspiracy theory that the U.S. government is deliberately hiding the existence of aliens from its citizens, was the second longest-running science fiction series on television. And this alien conspiracy theory is not only to be found in popular science fiction TV shows and movies. Much of the programming that now airs on the History Channel talks about the possibility of extraterrestrial life on Earth. The History Channel airs a program called Ancient Aliens, which is described like this. According to ancient alien theorists, extraterrestrials with superior knowledge of science and engineering landed on Earth thousands of years ago, sharing their expertise with early civilizations and forever changing the course of human history. What was once a far-out theory is now being lent credence because it is being aired on the History Channel instead of the Sci-Fi Channel. So, the truth is out there. But as Pontius Pilate asked Jesus earlier in the Gospel of John, what is truth? and how do we recognize it? Today, I want to look at three questions related to the idea of truth. First, why do we believe everything we hear, but have such a problem believing that Jesus is resurrected? Second, what is sin, and why do we have such a hard time with it? And third, why do we need Jesus? Did you know that President Obama canceled the National Day of Prayer? It's true. He doesn't want to offend anyone. But yet, he doesn't have a problem praying with Muslims at the White House. It's outrageous. Not only was he not born in America, but he's a secret Muslim conspiring with other Muslims in this country to get rid of all Christian holidays and turn this country over to the Muslims. All good Christian Americans should rise up and do everything they can to get rid of Obama. Truth, right? Many of us have seen this email forwarded to us from reliable friends who wouldn't lie to us about something like this, so it must be true. Well, not exactly. The facts are these. There is no official ceremony prescribed for the National Day of Prayer. President Obama opted to put forth the traditional proclamation designating the National Day of Prayer, and chose to pray privately rather than to have a public ceremony, which is actually in keeping with Matthew 6:6, where Jesus says, "But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And as for that picture supposedly showing the president praying with Muslims, it was taken not at the White House, but at Istanbul's Blue Mosque, where the president was a tourist and where protocol dictates the removal of your shoes before entering. Furthermore, officials in Hawaii have certified time and again that President Obama was born there, including just recently, as his complete long-form birth certificate has been released just this week. But the conspiracy theory is much more glamorous and sensational than the truth, isn't it? And with little more than the authority of the internet and of friends whom we trust, it's much easier to believe. By the way, don't send me emails like that without checking your facts first. If you do, you're liable to receive a reply email from me debunking whatever urban legend it is that you forwarded. Why is it so easy for us to believe in conspiracy theories, supposed truths that are made to fit twisted facts? And it is so difficult for us to believe in the resurrection of Jesus, which is true. On that first Easter morning, Mary Magdalene encountered the risen Jesus and ran to tell the disciples. And yet, the disciples didn't believe her. We know this because Jesus had to show them his hands and his side before the disciples rejoiced at seeing the Lord. When the disciples, in their turn, told Thomas that they had seen Jesus, Thomas also did not believe them. And by the way, Thomas gets a bad rap for doubting, but he's only demanding the same proof that Jesus gave the rest of the disciples, just in a more graphic and vehement way. When Jesus appears again to Thomas and gives him the proof he needs, and Thomas confesses Jesus as Lord and God, Jesus says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is why it is so difficult for us to believe in the resurrection. Thus far, Jesus is the only one who has risen from the dead. We have not seen Jesus with our own eyes, and as we become increasingly far removed in time from Jesus' first disciples, it is difficult for us to trust that their testimony is true. We look at the resurrection through the lens of the Enlightenment. We believe that we have superior knowledge to that of the first century disciples of Jesus. And so we regard the disciples who first reported Jesus' resurrection with an attitude of, "Oh, you poor superstitious people. If only you knew what we knew, you would see that what you perceived as Jesus rising from the dead can easily be explained by science. Jesus didn't really die. He just slipped into a coma and came to after 3 days. Or maybe, after they thought he was dead and they buried him, aliens with superior medical knowledge transported him to their spaceship, healed him, and then returned him to Earth. Our need to explain things rationally and our Enlightenment belief that all things can be explained rationally makes it more difficult for us to believe that miracles can happen, and ironically, makes it easier for us to slip into a belief in conspiracy theories. Now that we have looked at the question of why it is so difficult for us to believe in the resurrection, I want to look at how we define sin and why we have such a hard time with it. The first thing that we think of when we think of the word sin is a violation of the moral code: stealing, committing adultery, murdering, that sort of thing. When we define sin in this way, it is easy to let ourselves off the hook. We come to worship each week, and we may think, "Oh, I don't really have anything specific to confess today. I'm not such a bad person. I did the best I could. Well, I guess I'll just say the confession anyway to cover anything that I might have missed." Would it surprise you to learn that the Gospel of John does not define sin as a violation of the moral code? In John, sin is a theological failing. To have sin is to be blind to the revelation of God in Jesus. When Jesus appears to Thomas, he doesn't say, "Do not doubt." He says, "Do not be unbelieving." There is a difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt is merely to be uncertain about something. Thomas wasn't uncertain. He emphatically did not believe what the other disciples had told him, that they had seen Jesus. That was Thomas's sin. He did not believe that Jesus could have risen from the dead, thus making him blind to the revelation of God in Jesus. If we define sin in this manner, when is it that we sin? When are we blind to God revealed in Jesus? One example is the change in liturgy that we have during this Easter season. Instead of a confession and absolution, we are giving thanks for our baptism. Yes, this idea creates an anxious response in me, too. I grew up with a good heaping dose of Lutheran guilt, and I feel somehow that if I don't confess my sins on Sunday morning in worship, that something important is missing. But consider this: God knows our sins, and yet God gave us the free gift of Jesus dying on the cross and rising again for us. We didn't have to do anything. His gift was not contingent on us confessing our sins. And when we believe that we must first confess our sins before being worthy to come to the communion table for God's free gift, we are sinning by disbelieving the power of God revealed in Jesus Christ, and we are blind to that power of God. Any time that we believe we must do something to earn God's love, or that we must do something to be worthy of God, we are not believing in the power of God revealed in His Son, Jesus, our Messiah. Along with the moral code spoken of in the Bible, this disbelief is also named as sin. And I'm willing to bet that we have this type of sin more often than we are willing to admit to ourselves, let alone confess to God. Now that we have defined sin in a way that is different from the way we usually think of it, it begins to become clear why we need Jesus, and especially why we need to believe in Jesus' resurrection. There is a stream of Christian interpretation that looks at Jesus' resurrection as not having really happened, but views it instead as a metaphor for new life, as new growth arises every spring out of what appears to be dead during the winter. Taken far enough, this belief could also count as a conspiracy theory, that the disciples made up the resurrection to prove that Jesus was in fact the victorious Messiah, in spite of what the world saw as Jesus' defeat by death. But this belief that the resurrection did not physically happen is not something new that has appeared in the history of Christianity. Paul himself writes to the Corinthians, correcting this interpretation. His words are powerful enough that I want to repeat them here. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. We need Jesus because he is our Lord and our God, as Thomas confessed. Without the resurrection, Jesus becomes just a great teacher of morals and a miracle worker who died a tragic, horrific death on a Roman instrument of torture and execution. Without the resurrection, we have no hope of eternal life, either for ourselves or for our loved ones who have gone ahead of us. Without the resurrection, it becomes easier for us to believe those conspiracy theories, starting with the first one reported by Matthew. Jesus' disciples came by night and stole him away while the guards were asleep, up to the recent one, which says, Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He just fainted and then revived after 3 days. What is truth? Truth does not lie in conspiracy theories. Truth names disbelief in the power of God in Jesus as a sin. And truth says that we need Jesus and his actual physical resurrection as a cornerstone of our faith. Truth is also different from fact. The facts tell us that Jesus was crucified and was buried, and that on the third day, when the women went to the tomb was empty. The truth is that Jesus is risen from the dead. Have we seen this for ourselves? No. We must accept this truth on the testimony of those who did, and that takes faith. Faith moves us from unbelief to belief. And faith is what Jesus gives us who have not seen him in person, so that we may believe. Is there room for doubt and uncertainty in our faith? Of course there is. Our faith becomes stronger when we question it. But at some point, Jesus will come to us and say, "Do not be unbelieving, but believe. I am the way and the truth and the life. Believe that I am risen from the dead, and you will have eternal life with me." Amen.